that's why I left early on Thursday, kind of go out of town to meet the outdoor. Okay. On Sadiq Dalet on the base, the Gemara says that on one occasion in the city Drukra, Hahushkova, somebody had died on Shabbos. And it was a very, apparently he died at home, and it was a very uncomfortable position to leave the mace there. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchok came up with a heter. They're permitted to carry the mace out into a karmelis. There are two problems. Problem number one is hoitzor. Karmelis is hoitzor midirabon. And problem number two is tiltul hamace, is tiltul muktzah. Now tiltul muktzah is a gzeira shema yotzi. It's a shvus mishum hoitzor. Here it's mamash hoitzor, not just they're carrying the tiltul mace in the bayis, tiltul mace from one place to the other in the bayis, it's tiltul muktzah, shvus of hoitzor. Here it's mamash hoitzor. They're carrying into the karmelis. So you have the two problems. The Rashi says, no, the problem of muktzah, that one can solve that. The Gemara says, you put a kikaret tinuk. That's the Gemara earlier with kikaret tinuk. Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Aleph. The printer couldn't fit it in on Amud Beis, so he put it in on Aleph. That's a shaykh Amud Beis. The Tosfos quotes the El Daf Lamin Amud Beis in Perek Amud Adlik. And the Gemara says that Dovin HaMelech died on a Shabbos. The Rishami says he died on Shavuot. Maybe they both. Maybe died Shavuot, fell out on Shabbos. Okay. Whatever the story was. So he died on a Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech had a Shabbos, and it was Muta Bachama. He died outside. It was Muta Bachama. The body was going to decompose. It was going to be a Bizoyin Amaze to leave him there. So already in the days of Dovid HaMelech, there was a prohibition of Tiltul Muktzah. So Shlomo HaMelech had sent a Shaila to the Chachamim, can I move my father's body from the sun to the shade in order to prevent Bizoyin Amaze? So the answer was given back that the dead body is Muktzah. And even if he's David HaMelech, the greatest Melech HaMashiach and so on, it doesn't matter. Once you're dead, you're mukta, you're a piece of junk, like Eifma Bona B'Yofor, and you only have to tiltul is Ayudei Kikra Etinuk. Yeah, where did they get this Kikra Etinuk? What did they invent to have the Kikra Etinuk? You mean Heimomu Beheimomru? The Chachamim, at the time they introduced the prohibition of mukta, declared that a dead body, we discussed a few times, there are only four things that are not considered mukta, the four things that are not... The four things that are mekabel tuma, other mekayel, mochum, and mashlim. The four things. We explained that the dinim are not 100%. They don't correspond 100%. Adam is only mekabel tuma if he's Jewish. Anachri is not mekabel tuma, but Anachri is also not muktzah on Shabbos. Adam, kelim. There's certain kelim that are not mekabel tuma. Klei avonim, klei glolim, klei avdoma, synthetic plastic. These kind of things. There's no din in the chumash, no din in the gemara. So plastic kelim are also not mekabel tuma. But anything that's a kli is not considered muktzah, even though alpi halacha it's not mekabel tumah. Since kelim alpi dinah mekabel tumah, so even if you have a kli that's not mekabel tumah, it's considered a davar chashuv and it's not muktzah. Oklu b'mashkim also mikra din only oklu b'mashkim Michael Adam is mekabel tumah. If it's Michael Behemah and it's not royal Michael Adam, so then it's not mekabel tumah. But if it's Michael Behemah, so the din is that it's not muktzah. So the four categories, that's the Gemara later in the beginning of Kol HaKelim. The Gemara says on the first Omid Aleph in Perek Kol HaKelim that the laws of Muktzah called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun, a pattern after the Dinim Deraisa of Kabbalah Tumah. Means the only four things, the only four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah are those four categories that have Chashivas. If the thing is a piece of junk, so it doesn't make any sense to say it's Mekabel Tumah. So the Chachamim really wanted to prohibit us from handling anything on Shabbos, it's Zeir Hashem Yotzi, and they carry it out into the street. And the Chashash of Hoytzo applies to Oichlam and Kalim and Odom, and like Odom, okay, Odom is Achai Netzah Atzmo, so it doesn't apply to Odom unless he's Choyna, unless he's Kofus, fine, the details. Achai Netzah Atzmo. We're leaving out that issue, so whenever there's a prohibition of Hoytzo, so they wanted to prohibit handling the object because of the Gzeir Hashem Yotzi, but that would make life much too difficult. They didn't want to make life impossible on Shabbos, that you can't handle food, so how are you going to eat the food with your mouth? You can't pick it up with a fork and a knife. The fork and a knife you're not allowed to handle. The plate you're not allowed to handle. Your clothing you're not allowed to handle. That'll make life impossible. So the whatever is adobish yesh bohish tamshus, so that they never asked the tiltul. So the odd, so how do you determine what the dovah choshim sheyesh bohish tamshus? So whatever is mekabel tumah, they latched onto the din deraisa of kabbalah tumah. whatever is Mekabel Tumah apparently is a Dovah Choshev, has a Shtamshus, so that they never declared as Muktzah. Eitzim Avon HaBiyofor is not Mekabel Tumah, that's a piece of junk, so that they left. That since it's a piece of junk, so that doesn't really interfere with anybody's Einik Shabbos if you say that you're not allowed to handle that. So that they said that's an Issa Tiltum Muktzah. So at the same time that they prohibited Tiltum Muktzah, they realized that there's going to be a problem that a dead person no longer has a Hashidus of a Chai. So a dead person is also Lataltalos. What's going to be? Someone's going to die in the middle of Shabbos, they won't be able to move him. They'll be Mutal Bebizoy. So the pashtus is that when they instituted Heimomer, at the time that they instituted the whole package deal of Muktzah, so at the same time they said that if you have a Kikar Atinik, then you're allowed to use it. Then you're allowed to be Metal Talamen. That's what it would appear from the Gemara. Tosis on the bottom of Amud Aleph, Tosis on the bottom of Amud Aleph sounds like it's not so. Sounds like no. It's not that Kikar Atinik is a special heta they instituted specifically for the purpose of the meis. That's how the Gemara says, Loyomer Kikar Atinik Elo LaMeis Bilva. This heta of Kikar Atinik, that if I'm carrying a Dvar Mukta, but I have a Dovah She'ena Mukta on top of it, I have a little baby, a live baby sitting on top of the meis, or I have a Kikar, a piece of bread or something, a cookie on top of the meis, so I'm permitted to carry the meis. So the pashtus in the Gemara is that this is a special heter that they invented only with respect to Tiltul HaMeis. From the one line Tosis, Yeshlaim, and the bottom line of Tosis, it doesn't sound like that. Tosis sounds like there is a heter of Kikar Tinek floating around somewhere. So the Chachamim insisted that in order to be Metaltul HaMeis, you should only be Metaltul if you have a Kikar Tinek. Really, what do you mean there's a heter of Kikar Tinek floating around? We're the only place. You have the heter is going to get the tiltul ameis, tiltul muktzah of the meis. That's how the Gemara says, "Lama kikyu etinik elul ameis bovat." What does Tosis say? No, they latched onto that heter and they insisted you needed over here. Well, what heter? One heter. The only place they have it is by meis. It's interesting in the Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber writes Yesh Omrim, and he doesn't quote anybody who disagrees. So we assume that's the halach. He quotes the Tshuvas Arush, Yesh Omrim, that kikyu etinik is mutter is always useful. If you have a klisha malach taliyasim, there are two different prohibitions. There's an iser tilta muktzah, then an iser klisha malach taliyasim. Let's say, if you have money, so money is considered muktzah because money is a piece of junk. Money is not odom, kelim, ochlam, amashkim. It's not one of the four things. With money, you can buy something in the store, but the money itself doesn't have any assumptions. See the pair of glasses, you wear the glasses. Safety quarter you use, the safer you use. So if there's something that has a hishtamshus intrinsically, the thing has a hishtamshus. I read from the book, the umbrella I hold and it protects me from getting wet. Something has a hishtamshus, so that's called a kli and it's not considered muktzah. But if you have money you use to buy, money has representative value. I use the money to buy something else, the money per se doesn't have any hishtamshus. Let's say I have penny loafers. So people used to have fancy shoes and a slit in the front of the shoe, so to make it fancy design, to put a penny or put a dime there. So then the penny or the dime becomes a chelik of the shoe. So the shoe is a kli. The shoe is like a beggar, a kli, and the kli is mekabel tumah. So the penny becomes ois muktzah. The penny becomes part of the kli over there. The Mishnahis have like that. Let's say you have a stone. Eitz ma'avon of yofa. So a stone is considered muktzah because it has no shamshus. What if I have a wooden bucket that I lower on a pulley in order to draw water from the well? So the wood floats on top of the water. So how are you ever going to get the bucket to draw any water? It's always going to float on top of the water. So you have to weigh it down. So how do you weigh it down? So you take a heavy stone that's so heavy that it's going to pull the bucket down. When the bucket reaches the surface of the water, it's not going to keep on floating. The stone will pull it down below the surface of the water. So the Hashayla, how can you use such a bucket on Shabbos to draw water? It has a stone in it. You bring the Talta Lamukta Evan. And Evan is Muktzah. So the Mishnah says that's okay. Evan should be Kirbiyo. If you have a stone that's tied onto a bucket, to a container, and it pulls it down below the surface of the water, so that becomes bottle lag of the kli. That becomes part of the kli. So there are two different gzeiros in the Rabban. There's one din if you have, let's say, Eitzim Rabban of Yofar, I have money on the table. Or I have junk on the table. I have eggshells on the table. Mama's junk. It's not Michael Odom. It's not Michael Ben. It's just plain junk. Garbage. So that's considered muktzah, and you're not allowed to move it at all, even Litzarach Gufo or Litzarach Mekoymer. There's no heter to move it at all. So what do you do if you have to get it off of the table? So we assume lahalacha you can move it with your elbow. That the tiltal, the gzeira, tiltal muktzah is only instituted in the rabbana if you metalta muktzah be adayim. If you kick the muktzah with your feet, or you move it with your elbow, or even with the back of your hand, like this, and the Mishnah Berurah says that's also muktzah. The whole gzeira muktzah is a gzeira shema yotzi, lest the person will carry it. And the normal way to carry is to carry be adayim. Truth and matter, you can carry with your feet also. Let's say a person kicks a ball in the street, dalar amas. If that's the normal way to kick the ball, so he's chayit. If he carries money in a shoe, that's kalachayat. But carrying in your shoe is sometimes only the rabbanan. Sometimes it'll be there, right? So let's say a person is carrying chewing gum in his mouth and he walks in the street. So chewing gum in your mouth, or candy in your mouth, that's normal. If you have a coin in your mouth, that's abnormal. So it all depends what you're carrying in your mouth. That's a Mishnah later with the tasis. That if you have food in your mouth, that's called tiltal. And if you have money in your mouth, that's considered hoitzo shalakidarka. So carrying with your feet also, sometimes it's considered normal and sometimes it's considered abnormal. So again, so the prohibition of tilta mukta was introduced without any heteri. There is no heter letzok gufa letzok mekamim. But then there's a separate zera, the Rabbana, that was introduced. The Gemara seems to say, Bimei Nechemi ben Chakalya. But that was introduced later in the days of Nechemi ben Chakalya. The Hainu that they prohibited. If you have a pen or a pencil or a hammer or a screwdriver on the table, so you're not allowed to be metaltalit unless it's letzarach gufa letzach mekom. Tzach mekom, I want to get it out of the way in order to eat a meal over here. I want to put svarim down and this is making everything uneven. And letzarach gufa, I want to use, let's say, the screwdriver to open up a pickle jar. So I'm going to use it not for turning screws, which would be on melacha of bona. Or Misak and Mona or something, I want to use the screwdriver for a Dvar Heta. So Litzok Gufa, Litzok Mekomi, you're permitted to handle a Klisha Malach Taliyasa. But a Dvar Mukta Mamish, there's no Heta to handle it all. So the Mechaber quotes in the name of the Chuvus Arosh, based on the Gemara, the Rosh has it in the Gemara. The Gemara says, let's say you have a pot full of soup. Let's say you have a pot of soup on Erev Shabbos. And you served everybody the soup, and the leftover soup, what do you do? So you take the whole pot and you put it in the refrigerator. So the Rishon, that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Rishon raised the question, how are you permitted to move the pot with the soup in it? This pot that you cook in is a klisha malach taliyisa. So why isn't there an issa tilta muktzah? So the Rishonim comment on that Gemara, they give two answers. So the Rosh answers, because you have the head to kikra tina. Since you have food in the pot, so you're permitted to move the pot, even though it's a klisha malach taliyasa. I think Mar says leomer kikra tinika lelameis bavat. He says, yeah, that's in the area of mukta mamish. So here we're just talking about klisha malach taliyasa, where the yisur is more kao. But harai that you have a heta l'tzav kufa l'tzav mukarma. So this also constitutes a heta. That if you have kikra tinika, that would also be a heta. And the Balamor gives a different answer on that tesis on this kasha. How come you're allowed to move the soup pot with the soup in it? He doesn't like the heter of kikra tinek. He thinks I'm a kikra tinek elamais bavat. So he says no, different answer. The only time the pot is considered a klisha malach taliyasa is when the pot is empty. If you have a frying pan or you have a broiler or you have a soup pot, some kind of a pot that's normally used for cooking, that's labeled as a klisha malach taliyasa. But if you have a pot of soup which has soup in it, so why should you call it a cooking pot and label it as a klisha malach taliyasa? It's a kli that's normally used to do a malacha bishul in it. No, I call it a container. Let's have a Tupperware that's never used. Okay, a Tupperware container that's never used to cook in, but it's used as a container. So a container is not a klisha malach taliyasa. So why do you declare that a pot that you cook in is a pot for cooking only and it's a klisha malach taliyasa? It depends. If it's empty and it's in the cabinet, so then it's a pot for cooking. So some you're going to take it out to cook in it. But if it has the soup in it, you want to put it into the refrigerator, so I say it's a container. So a container is a klisha malach taliyasa. I sometimes label it as a pot for cooking, which is a klisha malach taliyasa. And sometimes I label it as a container, which is basically a klisha malach taliyasa. So this seems to be a machlokes between the Balamor and the Rosh. What do you see from this Gemara? Why does it say that you're permitted to move the pot with the soup in it? What happened to the, why shouldn't we label the soup pot as a klisha malach taliyasa and say that you're not allowed to move it? So the Mechaber quotes the Rosh's answer, Yesh Omrim, that since it's not muktamash, it's only klisha malach taliyasa, So there is a heter of kikur etinik. Aydin Gemara says lama kikur etinik elam lemeis bovat. So he holds that's only within the area of mukta mamish, but within the area of klish malach tala heter, so kikur etinik is a good heter. So it comes out that they didn't invent. I don't know. There's a shaila. When was the prohibition of mukta introduced? The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash, and the Herchev Dover on the bottom of the page. In his commentary on Chumash, so he raises this theory that the Gemara in the Laman on the day says that already in the days of David HaMelech there was an Isser of Tilton Muktim. When David HaMelech died, he was Mutal Bachama, and Shlomo HaMelech came to the Chachamim. He sent to Shaila to the Chachamim, is he allowed to move the body? So you see that the Dinam of Muktzer were already in existence in the days of David HaMelech. Then there's a Gemara later in Kol HaKelim, where the Gemara says that the main Nechemeh ben Chakayim Nishtis Mishnah Zu, that all of the prohibitions of Tilton Kelim were introduced when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and they were preparing to complete the building of the second Beit HaMikdash, so they saw there was a lot of Chil Shabbos going on by the Balabatim, so they introduced more Chumis. If you have more Chumis, so at least so the religious people will observe all the Chumis, and even in Pasha the Balabatim, at least they'll observe the Dinim Derayis. They may not observe all the Chumis from the Rabbanim, but at least they'll observe the Dinim Derayis. So you see from that Gemara that the laws of Mokhtzib were introduced in the days of Nehemiah and Chakayim, so the Nitzib says, isn't that a contradiction? Here the Gemara says that it was already in existence in the days of David HaMelech, and the other Gemara says that it was only brought into existence, it was only instituted in the days of Nehemiah ben Chakai. So he answers, and it's even his commentary on Chumash answers, that maybe it was already in existence before David HaMelech died, but maybe it fell into, maybe the people didn't observe it for many years. Maybe it was they neglected it. So then they had to degeuser it all over again to be mechazik it again in the days of Nehemiah ben Chakai. Once in a while you have something like that in Gemara, that the gzera was made in the earlier generations and the people didn't really observe it, so they had to make the same old gzera all over again in a later generation to be mechazik it. That's his suggestion. Others made a suggestion that maybe these are two different gzeras. Maybe the gzera of Tiltal Muktzeh, Mamish, whatever, Eitzim Avonavi, often maybe that was already in existence in the days of David HaMelech, and the Xera, the Rabbanon, of Tiltul Kalim, Kulisha Malach Tali Yisr, which is not Mukta, maybe that was introduced in the later generations. Yeah, but here is the Shaila. See, the Rosh, this Chuvus HaRosh, that the Mechaber quotes, came up with a Chiddush, that Kikar Atinik is not unique Davke Temeis. Lamer Kikar Atinik Ela Meis Bilvan means within the area of Mukta, it only applies to Meis. What did they invent it from thin air? Yesh Meyayin, they invented a heter of Kikar Tinik. The answer is no, there is a heter of Kikar Tinik that exists out there in the area of Kalisha Malach Tali, yes sir. And there Kikar Tinik was always understood to be good. And here by Meis, they borrowed it. They took an already, that kind of sounds a little bit from the bottom Tesis, Tariq Dalam Nav, that there existed a heter of Kikar Tinik, and they insisted by the Meis, you should employ that heter of Kikar Tinik. You shouldn't be Matamishim Kavarabir to move the Meis without any kikar etinik, try to use that heter. What heter? What heter? So sounds like there already existed this heter. So if you'll suggest this second suggestion, that the gzeira of Tiltul Kalim was only introduced in later generations, and the only thing that was nigs in the days of David HaMelech, that already existed when David HaMelech died, was the gzeira of Mukhtze. So how did they have, and the eitzah that they told Shlomo HaMelech was kikur etinik. So how can you say that we're borrowing the heter that already existed and we're applying it also to the Meis? What do you mean? The whole Yisr of Tiltul Kalim didn't come into existence in the later generations. Unless you say like that it's in there. So no, that the whole package was there already in the days of David HaMelech and everything fell into, they neglected, the Tzibur neglected it, they weren't medactic on it, and then they had to be going through everything all over again in the later generation. But if you're going to say that they were nigzer in two different generations, and then the whole issue, the whole iser of Tiltul Kalim was only nigzer b'mei Nehemiah ben Chakai, so the whole heter of Kikur HaTinik was only later. So how is it that already in the days of Shlomo HaMelech they had the heter of Kikur HaTinik by the Meis? What do you mean? They said, use that heter that exists in other places, use it over here by the Meis. So that's a problem. Anyway. So Tosfos on Amud Aleph refers you to that Gemara. This is the Gemara that Rashi in Amud Beis tells you, Kikur HaTinik doesn't tell you where it says it. So Tais tells you, it's on Laman Amud Beis.
According to the Chuvus HaRosh, what about Mukta Machmas Kisar and Kis? Would we be able to apply the heter of Kikur HaTinik?
I think if I'm not mistaken, Mukta Machmas Kisar and Kis is a machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and based on a Vav, a machlokes, the Achronim, whether it's basically an Issa Tiltil Kalim, but it's more Chomer than normal Tiltil Kalim. Whereas a normal Klisha Malachta Liyisa has a head to the Tauf Kufa, the Tauf and Kaimai. So Mukt Machmas Kisar Kis is a Klisha Malachta Liyisa that we don't allow those Hateris. Or should we assume, no, that Mukt Machmas Kisar Kis means that we treat it as if it's not a Kli at all. As if a Kli means a Kli that has a Shtamshus. So since that Mukt Machmas Kisar Kis means that the Iker is Shtamshus, is Liyisa on Shabbos. So that is Shtamshus it doesn't have. And we're makbid because it's a precision instrument and it's so expensive, so valuable, so we're makbid and no one should use it for anything other than it's Iker Hishtamshus. And maybe the pshat is and the Gzer the Rabbanan that Mukt Machmas Chitzarkis is Mukt Mamish, it's considered like a non-kli. The Shabbos, the Tilfam on Shabbos is considered a non-kli. They quote some Achleikas Sakhrenim about that. There are Hachaim Siddur in the Vilna Gaon. I think the Pashtus is that they assume that it's Mukt Mamish. It's not just Kli Shemalach Taliyah. But that's he quotes a machlokes about that. So Nachamol. So Rashi points out on this Gemara, we're starting the Gemara Tzadik Dalav Bei. Someone died on Shabbos in the city Drukro, and they wanted to move the body. It was a very uncomfortable spot where the person was in the middle of someone's home, and they were all singing his mirrors and they want to eat the meal, and they have this dead body there by the table. So they needed a hetzer to move the body into a karmel. Not enough to move it into another room. If they just want to move it to another room, that's the Gemara Lamed Amud Beis Kikuratina. They wanted to move it into a Carmelis. So this Rav Nachman Yitzchak gave a hefter that covered Abis is Dechad the Rabbanim. Loi me boy, that's for sure if you hold like Rav Shimon that carrying a mace, even the cover is considered a Malacha Shem Tzvicha Legufas, that's only the Rabbanim. But even if one will assume Halacha like Rav Yudah that Malacha Shem Tzvicha Legufa constitutes an Issa Deraisa, Hanimili, that's only if you're carrying it into Rishu Saram Deraisa. But over here, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that I say you can carry him into Rishus Ram. We're talking about a Carmelist. The Carmel is only the Rabbanah. The Kavod Abiyah is Deche, and he said the Rabbanah. That's the gist of the Gemara. So Rashi poses the question over here. Fine, that's the Heter to carry the maize into the Rishus, into the Carmelist. Kavod Abiyah is Deche. What about the issue of Tilta Mukta? So Rashi says Tilta Mukta can be resolved, that issue can be solved by the heter of Kikuratina. And that's what Tosis writes on Amun Aleph, the same Kikuratina. Here's a Shaila, I mean, whatever you can be Misakin, you're Misakin. So use the Kikuratina to take off the Yisra of Tiltal Mukta, and the Yisra of carrying into the Carmelist, that Balei Sprera will have to be Matur based on the Kavod Abisus Berkha de Rabbanim. So the Ramban quotes this Rashi and he disagrees, he thinks that it's very difficult. Because you're concerned about an Issa of Tilfal Mukta, so therefore you say, put out a Kikratina. Put out a Kikratina, you'll be carrying more into the Carmelis. Like this, you only carry a mace. Now you're going to carry a mace with a Kikr, or a mace with a Tinek. A Tinek can't walk on its own, that's like a Kofus or a Chela, since he can't walk on his own. So you don't apply the Kalala Chayna, says Atzma. So it's going to come out, you're doing an added Issa of Haitzor. That doesn't make any sense. So he says, in this case, you have no brayer. You have to carry out the mace into the Carmelis without the Kikuratina.
That's not the normal way. It's not the normal way to take out a Kikuratina on a mace.
Yeah, for sure not.
So
a Kalacha Yad. Okay, and Achanami says a Kalacha Yad, but it's still a Kalacha Yad, still an Issa Derabbanan. So why do you create? You're creating another Issa Derabbanan. Like this is only one Issa Derabbanan. I'm carrying a mace kidarka into the Carmelis. And like this, because I want to resolve a problem of Tilta Mukta, which is only a Xera, Tilta Mukta is only a Xera, so I'm going to, the way to resolve that is by putting on a Kikuratina and to violate another Isra of Hotsor in the form of a trader upon it. It's going to be Hotsor and a Kikuratina, which is going to be Kalachayad into a Carmelis. So it's a trade, a shuz the shuz. Kalachayad into a Carmelis. In order to solve a problem of exeris, they go and you violate a double the rabbon and a malocha. So it's strange.
There is a difference in terms of hotel when you take out two small packages, one on top of the other, or one large package?
Yeah, there is a difference. The Gemara says later in the sugya, let's say I have a long watermelon, I have a long string of spaghetti or something, a long jump rope, and I carried most of it out into the Rishus HaRabim, and a few inches are left behind in the Rishus HaYachs. Even I could have had a jump rope that would be half the size, and that would also be Chayiv. But since it's one long thing, and part of it is still in the Rishus HaYachs, so you're not Chayiv Mishin Hotzor, unless you carry the whole thing out. So if I have two different packages, if I would have had one big package and I would carry 99% of it out and 1% would remain behind in the Mishus HaYachid, you would not be chayv. If you carry two different packages, so then if you carry the one package out and the other package is inside, then you chayv and hoitzon the other. We treat the whole one big unit as one thing.
Right. Both of them are taking them outside. So at the end of the day, you carry one package that was huge and one that was cut down.
Two different hoitzot. Yeah. You see that each unit is considered a separate hoitzot. Each unit is considered a separate hoitzot. Yeah. I think so. That's what you see from that Mishnah. That if you carry out 99% of the chevitz and one part is left behind, so it's not called the hoitzot. So you see that every big unit is considered a separate unit for the purpose of hoitzot. So that's a detailed machlokes, it's an important detailed machlokes, Rashi and the Ramban. What do you do with the issue of muktzah? So Rashi says, we resolve the issue of muktzah by putting on a kikaretinu, right? But how to resolve the issue of hoitzot? So that you have to come out to Ranachma Yitzchak to say that Kovar Abris is derecha by the Ramban. The Ramban thinks that it doesn't make any sense to make an added Yitzchak hoitzot. So it's better already to say that Kovar Abris should be matzah the Yitzchak till for muktzah, rather than to put a kikretinuk on top of the mace and to add an additional iser of hoitzah. Yeah, here there's a major machlekes in the Rishonim that's referred to by the Meiri, and this is quoted by the Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Yontif. Because the Gemara says in the first parak in Beitzah that if a Jew dies on the first day Yontif, Kavod Abiyah dictates he should bury him as soon as possible. So on the first day Yontif, you're not permitted to violate an Issa Deraisa to bury him. So you have to have Nochrim bury him. Based on Yontif Rishon is Yikover Aydei Amomim. You have the Nochrim, you do Amirul and Nochrim. So Amirul and Nochrim is only the Rabbanon. On Yontif Sheni, we even allow the Jews themselves to do the Kura, Aydei Yisrael. Why is that? Because Yontif Sheni is only the Rabbanon. So B'malkam Meis, Kechol Shav Yerabbanon. It's permissible to do the Meloch on Yontif Sheni. So there is there, the Meiri has there a machlokes Rishonim. What about on the first day Yontif to do an Issa de Rabbanon? It's assumed that it's a greater Kavod HaMeis if the whole Kavod is taken care of Ayidei Yisraelim as opposed to Ayidei Nochrim. So when it says that the Meis beyond the Rishon Yikover Ayidei Amomim, what part of the Kavod has to be done by the Nochrim? So the chafira, when you dig a hole in the ground, that constitutes a malacha deraisa. And when you're going to cook water in order to wash off the body, to do a taref, clean off the body, so cooking water is going to be a malacha deraisa. I don't know, do you say mitoich over here? Maybe you say mitoich, but since you're allowed to cook water for eating purposes, you're allowed to cook water to wash the meat. Could be that that would be mutam in atar. But So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Machlekes HaRishonim. What about things that are only the Rabbanon on Yom Tov Rishon? Would you prefer to have that done Ayidei Yisrael because it's more Kavod HaMeis, and Ayidei Yisrael should be muta because Kavod Abriyas is matter only term the Rabbanon? That's what our Gemara says. Godel Kavod Abriyas Shadechas Leiseser Shabbatar. Which Leiseser Shabbatar? So the Gemara says in Brachas Af Yutes on the base that it refers to the Leiseser of Loisosu, that all the dinim the Rabbanon asmachuhu al Loisosu. That's where this statement appears. Godel Kavod Abriyas. It appears in Brachas Daf Yutes, in addition to the other places. And Mar says that's the Loisosu that we're referring to. Because Kavod Abriyas in general is not Deicha Loisosu. It's only Deicha the Loisosu of Loisosu, which refers to the dinim the Rabbanon. So do you say that on the first day Yontif, whatever is only an Issa the Rabbanon can be done al Yidei Yisrael, because that'll enhance the Kavod HaMeis? But he say no, maybe Kavod HaBriyas is Doicha, Dinam the Rabbanon, that's only Kavod HaChai. Maybe Kavod HaMeisim is not Doicha. So what does our Gemara say? Isn't our Gemara talking about Kavod HaMeis? And that's what the Miri has, the Machlokes HaRishonim. What motivated them to carry the mace into the Carmelites? Why did they want to carry the mace into the Carmelites? Was it because it was an issue of Kavod HaChai? Because the people were sitting in their home and they didn't have any other room. If they would have had a different room in their apartment, so they'd be able to move the mace into the other room and close the door and finish eating over here and sing with mirrors over here. There was no other, the whole apartment, the whole house consisted of one room. So wherever they're going to leave the mace, there's going to be a problem of, there's going to be, the people are going to feel uncomfortable eating and singing and so on. So that's why I had to take the mace into a Carmelis. Or should I say no? That the reason why they wanted to move the mace into the Carmelis was not necessarily Mishum Kavod HaChaim, perhaps it was Mishum Kavod HaMeis. So that's the machlokes. Kavod HaChaim is certainly more important than Kavod HaMeis. That's a Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis. The Gemara says if you have a crossroads and there's a group going in one direction for the purpose of Kavod HaMeis, and there's a group of people going the other direction for the purpose of Simchas Chasam Kalo, and then they bump at an intersection, and the question is who takes Kedima to whom? So the Gemara quotes that the marriage procession, the Chasam Kalo with their group, take precedence to the Levaya, to the group of people who are Malav and the Meis. So why is that so? Because there's a local Dinyo there, but the Sheikh Mukubetza says no. The reason why is because one is Kavod HaChaim, they're both Kavod HaBriyos. One is Kavod HaChaim and one is Kavod HaMeis, and whenever there's a conflict between Kavod HaChaim and Kavod HaMeis, and Kavod HaChaim takes precedence. And that pasuk in Chumash that says Lo Yitamo, the pasuk says that a Kohen is not permitted in Parshas Amor. So the Kohen is not permitted to be Mitame LaMeis, and unless it's one of the seven relatives and he's permitted to, then that pasuk there was a machlokes Hatanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether Lo Yitamo is a Rishus or Lo Yitamo is a Chayvo. So we passing that it's a Chayvo like Rabbi Kiva. What is the Chayvo? So the chayva is that is the mitzvah of kavod habris. That is the marker for the institution of the chayva of kavod habris. And that pasuk is talking about kavod habris. So the kohen should demonstrate kavod habris for the seven relatives by being metamid, by violating kedushas kunah, by being metamid to the mason. And the pasuk is talking about kavod habris. So it's according to this sheet of Mekubetzus in the second parak in Ksubis, included in the pasuk is based on a kavod chayma that there certainly has been of kavod chayma. That pasuk Lo Yitamo is the marker for the whole institution of Kavod HaMeis, and Kavod HaChaim is a Kavod HaChaim of Kavod HaMeis. So that's the machlokes in the Miri over here. When we speak about Kavod HaBris is Dersa Nisa de Rabbanan, maybe it's only the higher form of Kavod HaBris, namely Kavod HaChaim, maybe Kavod HaMeis is not included. So that's 2 days in the Mishnah Brura. In Hilchos Yontef, he writes in different communities, they have different practices. This is a long arichas about this. This Meiri is in the first parak in Beitza. When the Gemara says that Kfuras HaMeis is allowed on Yom Rishon only on day Amamin, and Kfuras HaMeis on Yom Sheni is allowed even on day Yisrael. And this Miri is also Barichas Barachavi Yisera in the Magen Avos, in the Sefer Magen Avos, where he defends all the Minhagim of Provence when the Ramban died, so the Talmud Ramban moved on to learn in Provence. And there was Sechsuchim about the different issues in Halacha. So the Miri who lived, who was born and bred in Provence, he wrote a whole Sefer Magen Avos to defend the Minhag Avosim. So this is one of the issues. Kvura and the Yom Tov Rishon, do you allow nothing on Yidei Yisrael? Or do you say, no, you're permitted to violate whatever is only the Rabbanon, you're permitted to violate because Kavod HaMeisim is also Dersa and Nisa the Rabban. The other side is only Kavod HaChaim. Kavod HaMeisim is not Dersa. So the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yom Tov and the Simon of Kvura HaMeis, the Yom Tov Rishon, the Yom Tov Sheni. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a long arichas that there are different Minhagim Mekoymes, like in the days of the Miri. In Provence they had one minhagim, in Spain they had a different minhagim. So he says in Europe in different places there were different minhagim. Whether they followed the Shita, the Kavod HaBris, Kavod HaMeisim is Decha de Rabbanon. So no, only Kavod HaChaim is Decha de Rabbanon. Kavod HaMeisim is not Decha de Rabbanon. So those are the two Shitas over here, the Miri and Adaf. What was the Yisayda Heter, the Kavod HaBris allowed them to carry into the Carmelis? Was it because there was Kavod HaChaim? Or even if there would have only been a Kavod HaMeis, it would also be sufficient to be Matzah.
You say that the
Kavod
HaMeis, how could you say that would be more legal by Kavod HaChaim?
I don't know, Dayo. It means that the Pasuk tells you that you have to treat human beings with dignity, even after they die, Kavod HaChaim while they're alive. The two levels. So you're asking, how can it be if the whole marker for Kavod HaChaim is a Kavod HaChaim from the Pasuk, which speaks about Kavod HaMeisim, so how can it be that the thing that's learned from a Kavod HaChaim has a better heter? You should say Dayo. I don't know about that. Dayo usually means, Tosfos in Bava Kamma says, Dayo levamen adilius kinodon means that whenever you establish you can invent a new din based on a Kavod HaChaim. So I say, as the Kashi, if you're going to say Dayo and the Vomen Adon Yisrael, so it kills every Kavod HaChaim in the world. How can you ever apply a Kavod HaChaim? You can never exceed what was given. So what was given is a couple of dinim, and you can't exceed it. How can you ever be done any kal v'chomer? So Tosfos says, not no. Dayol avom and adin liyaskanan means you can invent a new din based on a kal v'chomer, but you can't change an already existing din. That's dayol avom and adin. Like the Mishnah has a machlek zaptachan and a chachamim that Karen b'chotzer nizik should pay nezik shalom the first 3 times. So the Torah says that Karen pays chatzi nezik the first 3 times. Are you going to tell me you're going to construct the whole kal v'chomer that Karen is Mohammed and Shem Beregel Baharai Karen Bishus Arab Mitzchayim and Shem Beregel Bishus Arab Mitzpata and Shem Beregel B'chatzan Nizik pays Nezik Shalom the first time, that Karen B'chatzan Nizik, which is Mohammed and Shem Beregel, should also pay Nezik Shalom the first 3 times. That's Reb Tarfon. And the Chachamim say Dayol Levomen Adin Liyaskinon, how can you be done a Kalvachaymer and based on your Kalvachaymer change an already existing din? The Chumash says that Karen pays Chatzi Nezik the first 3 times. You tell me, I'm going to change that din and say that it only applies to Karen Mishus Harab. And Karen Mechatzan Nezik is going to pay Nezik Shalom the first time. So that Dayo, Dayo means you can't change an already existing din. You can invent a new din from thin air. Yesh Mayan, you can invent. So here, the Pasuk only speaks about Kavod HaMeisim. And we say, well, if the Kavod HaMeisim, that Kavod HaMeisim is good. We assume Mitzar HaSavar, the Kavod HaChaim is greater than Kavod HaMeisim. Then we're fishing around on a Din DeRabbanan. This is already not a Din DeRaisa. On the level of DeRaisa, we're going to say that Kavod HaChaim is a Kavod HaChaim from Kavod HaMeisim. Good. Now we're going to say on the level of DeRabbanan, Gavul Kavod Rabbi is that it's Doich HaNisa DeRabbanan. We're going to restrict that Heter only to Kavod HaChaim, not to Kavod HaMeisim. So that's in the area of DeRabbanan. I don't know if you should apply the issue of Dayo over here. I mean, when the Chachamim set up the Dinam Derabbanan, so they said only Kavod HaChaim should take precedence over a Din Derabbanan. Kavod HaMeisim should not. Chorek, Dayo only applies to Dinam Deraisa. Does it apply on Dinam Derabbanan? The Rabbi Gershom's son died. So the different versions, the son became a Meshumad. There were wild times then. They were precious to convert to Christianity. So Rabbi Negeshim's son became a Meshumad. So one version has it that he sat Shiva 14 days. What is it, Shiva 14 days? That if a normal person dies, he sits Shiva 7 days. That's how the Gemara says in Bava Kamma in a different context. Hello, Adam Avio, Yorak Yorak Bafana, at least the column Shivas Yom, Kavachim Lishchina, Yudalad Yom. So that's what they say, Sat Shiva for 14 days. So that's what the Chochmah Sodom has a long footnote, he has a discussion in Hilchos Avelus. Why don't you say Dayo Levomen Adin Liyaz Kinodom? What do you mean Dayo? The whole din of Shiva is only the Rabbanan. What do you mean Dayo? The whole din of Shiva is only the Rabbanan. Some aspects of Shiva are there, I said, that the fellow has a shame of all the first 7 days. That part is a din deraisa. The nihu gavavelus, the moshav, there is a din chur, a din deraisa, that the oval is ain't a makriv korbanos of the first 7 days of Shiva. So that from the Rambam would appear that that's a din deraisa. Avelus yom rishon is deraisa, the rest of the 6 days of avelus only the rabbanon. But the fact that he has a shame oval from the Rambam would appear that that's a din deraisa, he has a shame oval the first 7 days. So maybe this is a kasha. The Chachach Mazarim talks about that kasha. How could the Rabbeinu Gershom have made such a kavachoy melashchin yudalad yom that one observes Avelis for 14 days? Why don't you say dayo? Maybe it means because Shiva, observing Shiva for 7 days, is rooted in a din derais. Even though the whole, only Avelis and Mishin is derais, but there is something. There is a din of Shiva derais. I don't know. That's a question. You got to work on dayo. What to work on dayo? Anyway, this is a famous Ramban on this Gemara. It's a Meiri on this Gemara. Kavod Rabbi is doicha the Issa the Rabbanon of carrying in a Carmelist. Does it mean the Kavod HaChaim only? It doesn't mean even if it would have only been an issue of Kavod HaMeisim, it would also be doicha. Because Kavod HaChaim is more common than Kavod HaMeisim. Last year on Parshas Emorah, somebody died from the neighborhood. He happened to have been a doctor. I went to Sunlands Nishivinus. So I went to the funeral. So they asked me to speak the last minute. So there was a Lubavitcher rabbi there. He asked me to speak. And he said that all the people who attended were all doctors. And a lot of them are not observant. So some of them are Nochrim, some of them are Jews, and I should give a little Yirah Shemayim. I shouldn't talk so much about the Nifta, I should speak a little bit about Yirah Shemayim. So I spoke about the Parsha. So I said that some people have a mistaken notion, they think that Judaism revolves about death. And I said it's not true, but in this week's Sedra we have the Dinam of Kovet HaMeisim and Parsha Samor. You have the din of Kavod HaMeisim, but we assume that Kavod HaChaim is much more important than Kavod HaMeisim. It's not a conflict between being a doctor and being a religious Jew. That Judaism doesn't revolve about the dead, as opposed to medicine, which revolves about keeping people alive. Judaism is even insistent on being mechabed the dead people because they used to be alive, but Kavod HaChaim alachaim. Kavod HaChaim is certainly doicha Kavod HaMeisim. So somehow somebody, there was one Lubavitcher there, he thought that I was attacking Lubavitch. I don't know what is it. I had no havamina to attack Lubavitch. The guy who died happened to have been he was one of the Rebbe's doctors. He was a Lubavitch. Had no havamina to attack anybody from Lubavitch. Anyway, but that is the dish. The Kavod HaChaim is more important than Kavod HaMeisim. Then the Gemara has a din. Rashi quotes from Dvarim chapter Chavdali, Hishamacha benega hatzaras. Whenever it says loy, you only get malchus if you violate a loy sase, which is similar to loy sachsim shabadish. So it has to be similar in the nature of the aveira. Has to be a lav sheyesh bo maisa, we pass, and has to be a lav sheloy nitan latashlum, and a lav shouldn't be a lav anitik lesei, shouldn't be a lav anitan latoras mishin bezin, and then it has to be dumi the lav nahasim the way it's written in the Chumash. If it's written alav abo mechlal aseh is alav, but it's not written similar to lo sachsim shabadishai, so I treat it like an aseh with respect to malchus. You only get malchus if it's written either beloshen loy, like lo sachsim shabadishai, or hishama pen vial is the equivalent of loy. So here it says hishama. Here it says hishama benega hatzara. So hakoytid baheres is over beloy says. So the Gemara says that you like it. One gets malchus for being koytid baheres. Or if he leaves the Baheres but he cuts off the Simen Tumah. What is the Simen Tumah? Let's say there was a Shteisiris turned white, Shteisiris Levanashe Baheres. They turned white after there was a Negatzaras. If you had a case for Kodmu Shteisiris LeBaheres, then it doesn't serve as a Simen Tumah. But if Kodma Baheris, the Seir Lovon, then the Seir Lovon means Shteisiris. Whenever there's a din of Seir, so the Halacha says that you have to have Shteisiris. That's how the Gemara says when you get to Gozes, that the Melocha Gozes, one is only a violation, that's on the third wide line. And those from Lopiazuk, Chayv Kamam Lopiazuk, Shteisiris. The Gemara says there's a Brisa, the Korchashtai. The Gemara says, Bechain the Korchashtai. But Leikur Chul Korcha Beroshim, also there's a Shear of Seir, and the Shear of Seir is Shteisiris. So it's when you get to Gozes on Shabbos, the Shear is Shteisiris, and it's when you get to Korcha, it's also Shteisiris. When you get to Gadlus, when a child becomes Bar Mitzvah, you have to have Shteisiris, because Shteisiris is the definition of Seir. And the same thing over here by Veser Banego Hafach Lovon, whenever there's a din of Seir, it requires Shteisiris. So if a person either cuts off the whole Baheris, or he cuts off the Shteisiris, which is the Simen Tumah in the Baheris, or he has an Ega Saras, there are three Simone Tumah. If you wait till the end of the week, let's say you're Mazgir the Ega Saras. So if you wait till the end of the week and then you see that there's Pisoyon, that the Ega spreads, so Pisoyon is Metame. But Pisoyon is only Metame depending on when the coin first saw the Ega. Let's say he doesn't go to the kohen till a year after he developed the negev tzaras, and then by that time already the negev is so big, it's not, there's no more room for it to continue to grow, so there can't be any din of pisoyon. I don't say, but you know yourself that it started off so small, then it got bigger, so you come, see, when you tell the kohen over the whole story, so you already know that there was pisoyon that it spread. No, pisoyon depends on the first time the kohen did the hezger, when the kohen looked at it the first time. So if the pisoyon occurred before the hezger, then it doesn't. Then it's not mitame. But the Shteisiris, if there was a nega taras and then the serba nega hofach logon, even if that happened before you came to the coin, and you tell them the whole background, so the coin will declare you as a mitzora muchlut from day number one. You don't have to have the hezger. And same thing is true regarding michyot. Nisyas Basan Chai Basetas. You have the person comes with a big negataras, and in the middle of the negataras, there's a little amount of normal color skin. So even if that didn't occur after the Hizgirat Koinus Hanega, the man comes to the Koin and he tells him the whole story. That the whole Negataras developed, and then in the middle of the Negataras, part of the skin retained its natural color, or the whole thing was a Negataras, and then it turned back to natural color. So the Koin will declare him as a Mitzor Muchlet from day number one. The only time you have to have Hachlot and wait till the end of the week in order to declare that he's a Mitzor Muchlet, that's if you're working with Pisoyim. But if you're working with Shtei Cyrus, the Simen Tumah of Ser Banega HaPachloven, or the Simen Tumah of Michias Pasachai Baseis, so that you can declare as a Mitzor Muchlet from day number one, if you tell over the whole story to the Koin. So the Mishnah says, Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah in the Goyim says, if he's toilish, the simani tuma means he rips off the shtei saris, or if hichbo hamichyo, a little bit michyas basachai baseis, it's normal color skin, and so that's going to be a service of simen tuma. So he takes a burning hot piece of metal. He doesn't want to become a mitzorim muchlot. He takes a burning hot piece of metal and he makes scar tissue over there. He burns that all the normal skin. So when the coin, by the time the coin looks at it, he's going to say, I don't see any Michias Basachai in the middle. Even though the Balabas tells him there used to be and I burnt it, but right now when the coin sees it, so there is no Basachai. It's all scar tissue in the middle. So then if there won't be any Pisoyin later, the fellow will not become a Mitzor Muchla. So when you cut this off, you're in violation of the Loises Hishama Benegal Tzaraz, and the person gets Malkus. Because Hishama Pendial is a Loises similar to Losachim Shabadishoi. That's Dumi Delav Da Hasima, so you get Malkus on that. The Gemara has later in Perek HaBlez in the Milos, where the bit of a discussion of Kuf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, and Kuf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. So the Gemara has a Chiddush that even if the Mara, the prohibition of cutting off a Negat Saras even applies if it's a Mara Tohar. The Mishlam Melech on the bottom of the Rambam points out this Gemara. So the Sefer Gemara, even if it's a Mara Tohar, there's also an Issa. What if I went to the Kohen and I showed it to the Kohen and he passed him that it's a Maritoh? So there's still an Issa and cutting it off later on. Why should there be an Issa? The Pasuk, you should listen to what the Kohen says. I go, yes, the Kohen. Kohen passed him that it's a Maritoh. It's not the different shades of white. This shade of white is a Maritoh. So I did ask the Kohen. If I cut off the Negat Saras, a Maritoh, before I show it to the Kohen, so I make it impossible to ask the Shiloh over the coin. So I can understand that's a violation. You have to ask the Shiloh. I ask the Shiloh to the coin, and the coin passed and it's a maritor. So what's the problem? So then Luchari should be mutter. Luchari, you have to, it doesn't say explicitly, but Luchari, you have to say that Gemara that says, Tahorim Ayika Lameima here, five lines from the bottom of Kuflam and Beis on the base, that there is a prohibition of Kotzitz Baharis, even if it's a Maratohar, that's only if it's a Maratohar that you didn't ask the coin yet. But if you already asked the coin, Paskin Mutta, Tohar, finished, I already fulfilled the mitzvah, Lasas, Kecholosha, Yeraskam, Akar, Malvim. I did get a Psak on the coin. So then it's Mutta to cut off. So what is the whole prohibition over here? What's the Yisr? So that's what the Rashbo explains on Kuflam Gimel Manab. There is a very strange Gemara. The Gemara says that Mila b'Shabbos is mutter only if it's a Mila b'Zmano. Mila shalab b'Zmano is not Decha Shabbos. That's the Mishnah. Mila shalab b'Zmano. Even if it's a Safik Mila shalab b'Zmano is not Decha Shabbos. Only if it's a Vadai Mila b'Zmano. What's the case of a Safik Mila b'Zmano? The baby was born Bein Hashmoshes. So Safik Mila b'Zmano, Safik Mila shalab b'Zmano is not Decha Shabbos. What if it's a Negat Taras on the Orb HaBosar? When you're cutting off the Orho Orlo, you know in advance that you're cutting off the Negat Saras. So that the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that even if it's a Milo Shalai Bismano, it's also Decha Baharis. The love of Koitis Baharis does not apply in such a case. So the Gemara says, but why should I? The Gemara asks, isn't a Dov Shainim Miskave? When the Moel comes, it's not his baby. So he doesn't care whether the baby has a Negat Saras. He gets paid the same money for performing the Bris Milo. Whether there is a Negat Saras, there's no Negat Saras. It's not his baby, it's not his child. He has his family at home. He lives in New York and he went to Connecticut of Vermont for a bris. So So why should he be in violation of Hisham Lecha Ben Egatzeras? He's not interested at all. So the Gemara says, you're right. The only time there's a violation, when you cut off the Or HaOrlo and there's an Egatzeras, the only time the Moil is in violation, if it's Avi Abed. If it's the father of the baby who's performing the bris, and it's his baby, he doesn't want his baby to have an Egatzeras. So then it's a Dovah HaMeskaveh. But if he's not the father of the baby, he's just the Moil, he's an Acher, so then he doesn't really care. So then the Acher, the Moil, would not be in violation of this Loisese. So the Gemara then asked Akasha, so we have a cloud. Essay Doicha Loisese is only when it's Eepshe Lekayim Shneim. When it's Eepshe Lekayim Shneim, then it's not Doicha. So here also, this is something along the lines of Essay Doicha Loisese. It may not be 100% the same as Essay Doicha Loisese. Maybe it doesn't live up to the rules and regulations of Essay Doicha Loisese, but it's something similar. So I should still apply the klal of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's klal was originally formulated. Here, Reish Lakish's klal is on the seventh wide line on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Omer Reish Lakish Kol Makom Shatamot to Esav Lo Yisese Matiyachol Lekayim Shnei Mutrim Lavi Yaretiv Yitzchol Lo Yisese. That the klal of Esav Dechol Lo Yisese is only Dechuya Nahutra, and it only applies when it's Yevshel Lekayim Shnei. So the Mor holds that klal applies equally to this heter also. That a mila bein bizmana bein shaloi bizmana is deich and negatzaras, you're permitted to cut off a negatzaras, that's only if it's eif shel kaim shneim. If there's no way to perform the mila without cutting off the negatzaras, without violating the isra of cutting off negatzaras. So the Gemara asks, so why do we permit the father of the baby? If you all dom shenim is kabin mutter, machleis sabiyur Reb Shimon. So we pass them like Reb Shimon, dom shenim is kabin is mutter and kol atarkul. So the Gemara asks, the kasha there. If you hold like Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon is coming as mutter, so if the moil is not the Aviyah Ben and he's not interested in, he gets the same payment whether the baby, whether he cuts off the Negat Saras or not, he just does the Bris Mila. So he doesn't care one way or the other. So that's considered the Dov Sheinim is coming. That's very strange. Why is that considered the Dov Sheinim is coming? But he looks at the baby, sees it as a Negat Saras. So it's Mamash of Sikreishi. Very strange. So the Gemara doesn't consider that a violation of Sikreishi. So the Gemara says, but if the father of the Bain is going to do the Bris Mila, then it's Mamash Dov HaMiskavein. If the Moel is going to do it, it's a Dov Sheinim is coming. So why do we allow the father of the baby to perform the Mila? Why don't we say, Hechad Efshe Lekayim Shneim, there's no heter of Eseh Decholoi Seseh. Here also, why do we permit the father to do the Bris and violate the Isser of Hisham HaMenegat Saras? Let the Moel do the Bris, and he won't be in violation of Hisham HaMenegat Saras. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case, the Lek Acher, it's the Yom HaShmini, and there is no other Moel available. That's the Gemara's answer about the ninth wide line, Akuf Lam Gim Lam Aleph, right before the two dots on Amar. So the Gemara answers, the Lek Acher, when do I need a pasuk that says that the father is permitted to do the Bris and to violate the Isa of Shama ben Egat Saras when there's no other mile available? You can't get another mile to do the Bris Mila. So we were bothered with Akasha. I think Eli asked the Akasha the first time we learned that there is a machlekes between the Shach and the Ktzais. If the father has the ability to perform the Bris Mila and he asks a mile to do it for him, can you apply the principle of Shlucha Shalom Kemoisa? Or do you say, no, this is like a mitzvah shebegufa? So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya that the Aviyah Ben should stand next to the Moel and he should say to the Moel, I hereby appoint you as my Shliach to perform the Bris Mila. So the Mechaber seems to assume that it's Nitzvos and Shlichos, that's in Yerideya. So then when you go to Chosh Mishpat, there is a Machlokes between the Shach and the Tzais whether that is indeed correct or not. If the father has the ability to do Bris Mila, maybe he's Mevatel a Mitzvah if he gives it over, if he's Mechaber a moil to do it. Maybe this is considered like a mitzvah shebegufoy. Let the other pair of tefillin, and I'm supposed to put on tefillin myself to this. Instead of me putting on tefillin, I ask you to put tefillin on your body on my behalf. So that's a mitzvah shebegufoy. That doesn't help. If you put on tefillin on my body, that's fine. But if you put on tefillin on your body, that's a mitzvah shebegufoy. I'm not yet saying my mitzvah putting on tefillin. So if I ask you to be mal my baby, you say that it does lend itself to shlichas or does not lend itself to shlichas. So that's a machlokes suffering. Yeah, Dayan Grosnas has in his sefer, he says he doesn't understand for the life of him. Why should he be considered a mitzvah shebegufoy? The father has to do the bris mila on the baby, like you have to put up mezuzahs on your door. So he said the shliach puts up the mezuzahs on the door. You have to do bedikas chametz. So he said the shliach does the bedikas chametz on the chametz in your house. So the father has an obligation to be mala baby. So he said the shliach is is Malabeg. Why shouldn't it lend itself to Shlomo? He doesn't understand. So the Sri Yesh writes him back, well, such taste the nation, it's Machlokes is the shock and excite. But he still, he's tiny, it didn't make any sense. He said, as far as he's concerned, he thought that it doesn't make sense. He thought, like the Machabe says, that it is not supposed to be Shlomo. Machabe right. The father of the baby stands next to the mom and tells him, I hereby point you as a fail. Why should it make Saras Vara make good sense? So Elias Akasha, if you should assume that if the father appoints a shliach, it doesn't work. Shliach doesn't work, that it's considered a mitzvah shebegufay, and where there is a chiyuv on the father to be mal his own baby, so if the father's not a mal, he has no choice. If the father's a mal, he's not allowed to appoint someone else to do the milo, because then he's killing, he's making it impossible for himself to fulfill a mitzvah. So it's the chiyuv shelekayim shnei. What does the Gemara say? Hechadik acher. If there's another moil, let the father not do the bris, let the acher do the bris. We're talking about a case, let the acher do someone else. What do you mean? Even if there is a acher, but if he's going to have someone else do the bris, he'll lose out on his mitzvah. If you hold that the milos haben is a mitzvah shebegufo, and if you mechaber the moil to do it for you, you lose out on the mitzvah. So don't you see from this Gemara and often a raya that the chiyuv ha'ov lomolos benoi is not considered a mitzvah shebegufo? And it does lend itself to shlichus, like the Machabe said, that it does lend itself to shlichus. That was a starke taina in the Gemara. So someone made a suggestion that ran as follows. When the Gemara says, Heched, Efshel Lekayim Shneim, you don't apply Esedoch Aloy Sese, and here it's Efshel Lekayim Shneim. The Halacha says that Mila is Deicha Tzaras, the Maka Mila, you're permitted to violate the Enag Tzaras. That's not because Mila Sa'ab is Deich and Deich HaTzaraz. The mitzvah of Mila, Mila Sa'bein, performing Mila on the baby, is Deich of the Yisrael of Tzaraz. So maybe you're right, Anachinami, that mitzvah Sa'ab Lomlas Menot does not lend itself to Shlichas, but that mitzvah is not what Deich of the Yisrael of cutting off Deich HaTzaraz. Barai, even if there is no father around, and the Moil is going to do the bris, Moil is allowed to, even if he's miscaving to be mitar the baby from the Deich HaTzaraz, also mutter. It's mutab, the mitzvah of Mila is matah, not the mitzvah of Mila Sa'av. The mitzvah of Mila is matah, the Yisra of Negat Tzaraz. So that's what the Gemara says, Idika acher, levit acher. If there's someone else around to perform the bris Mila, so why do we allow the father to do it? Either father has no brera, if he'll ask someone else to do it, he won't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Chiyuv Ha'om, Lavalon, yeah, that's from the perspective of the mitzvah of Mila Sabein. But from the perspective of the halacha that Mila Mamachim Tzaraz is mutar, that's lavdavka milas habeng. That's any mitzvah milas there. So there shouldn't be a heter to violate the yisur of tzitzas baheres if it's ikacher, if there's a possibility for someone else to do the cutting off of the negataraz. And for him it'll be considered a dovashen miskav. That was the suggestion that somebody made, why it's not a hechrich, why there's no raif in the Gemara that it seems to be a beferish eray that shlichus does help. So the suggestion was made, maybe doesn't prove anything. Maybe shlichus really doesn't help. But on this Gemara, this is where the famous Rashba has the comment. He doesn't understand when the moil is about to cut off the Oro Orlo, he sees that there's a negat zarat. So tachmamish apsikresha. So how can the Gemara say that this depends on dovashen miskaven? If one should assume that the din is like Rav Shimon, the dovashen miskaven is mutter, let someone else do the bris mila. If someone else is going to do it, those are going to be in violation of Yisham and Negat Saraz. He knows that it has his karu of a Negat Saraz. So the answer is, but he's not aggravated about it. So the only time you're in violation of Yisham and Negat Saraz is if you take it to heart. If you don't take it to heart, it's not my baby, I don't take it to heart. If my child has a problem, so I'm going to fall to pieces. Someone else's child is not my problem, I'm not going to fall to pieces. So the only time you violate the law of Hishama b'negat tzaraz, if you take it to heart, if you're crying about it, that your baby has a negat tzaraz, how can that be? It doesn't make any sense. So the Rashba opposes the kasha, and then he gives an answer to explain what's going on in the Gemara. It's a little unclear. So what he seems to be answering, what he sounds like he answers on Kuf Lamed Gimel, is the way we presented it originally, that the violation of Hishama b'negat tzaraz, Hishama pen v'al is a loisese, it's a lav. That's what the Gemara says on Kuf Lamed Beis on the base. Hishama pen v'al is a loisese over here, it's a lav. So the lav only applies in a case where the person is trying to make do without, he's trying to do a harama to avoid going to ask the kohen the shayla. Yishama lecha miyod nishma v'lasis k'chol asher yor eska ma'akwanim halavim. You're not allowed to resolve the issue of the negar taras without asking the kohen the shayla. Once the kohen paskens that it's a marat tohar, then there's no issur. The Gemara says even a marat tohar is also to cut off means before p'sak ha-kohen. After p'sak ha-kohen is someone, then it would be muta. So that's what the Gemara says. The father of the baby, who knows that he didn't present the shayla to a kohen, and he's chalashing to cut off the negar taras, so he won't have to. There won't be anything to show the kohen. So he's interested. That's a dova hamiskaven. He wants to avoid p'sak ha-kohen. But the moel just knows that he's cutting off a negar taras. Maybe the father asked the shayla ready of the kohen. Maybe he didn't. He doesn't know. The moel, even if the father tells him, but he's not really interested in resolving the issue without having to come on to a psak of the kohen. He knows he's cutting off negar taras, but that per se is not the issue. To cut off negar taras per se is not the issue. The issue is lishmo miyod v'lasis k'chol asher yor eskam ha-kohanim alavim. The issue is the loy sesi really is the nature of the loy sesi is. Not to do a haramah, not to cut off the shtei saris, not to cut off the baharis, the kaitis baharis, not to burn out the michas basa chai baseis, not to avoid getting a psak of the koyin on the negatara. So the Gemara assumes that with respect to the father, he knows what's going on, so that's a dova hamaskavi. With respect to the acher, the Gemara considers that a dova shayna maskavi. He knows he's cutting off a negatara. It may or may not be an instance where he's avoiding psak ha-kohen. Maybe there already was a psak ha-kohen. Maybe the psak ha-kohen won't be necessary. Maybe it's going to turn out that it's going to be, even if the father tells him, I didn't ask the shayla of the kohen yet, maybe it's going to come out that it's a marat tohor. So it seems he's not really interested in avoiding the psak ha-kohen. He's really doing one thing, namely cutting off this negar taras. It may or may not result in a harama to avoid a psak ha-kohen. That's what the Gemara tells too. The Gemara considers this an example of a dov sheinim miskan. But it's a big chiddush. The Gemara Kuf Lamed Gimel is a big chiddush. That's considered a dov sheinim miskan. That's what the Rashba points out on that Gemara. So the Gemara here quotes this machlokes. What if not only there is, if only one seir banego hafach lavan and only one seir turned white, that's not a simen tumah. Let's say 10 seiris turned white. So that's for sure a simen tumah. And someone's going to cut off five of the 10 siris that turned white. So the Gemara says that's not a violation of kaitzid baharis because he has another five to go. He has another five that are gorim tumah, and by cutting off five, nothing happens. But the Gemara has a machlekes.
The way the Rashba answers the question, you're saying it depends. It's not always so clear that it would be humiliating the child.
Probably it's not always clear that it's being met. He knows he's cutting off a negar taras. He sees what it is, but he's not interested in avoiding asking the shayla to the kohen. And it may even be that he's not avoiding. It could be that the father already asked the shayla, and the kohen said that it's tohar, in which case it's mutar to cut it off.
So there are other factors.
Right. So even if the father tells the moel, I didn't ask the shayla of the kohen, and I want to get rid of this negar taras. So make sure when you do the bris, make sure you cut off the negar taras. That's what the father's interested in. But the moel, as far as he's concerned, he's doing bris mila. He doesn't get paid to do medical surgery to avoid the issues of negar taras. He's doing the bris. May or may not turn out that he's causing tahar. It could be that it's going to be, if they would have asked the shayla kohen, it would have turned out to be tahar anyway. So he's really not interested in avoiding asking the shayla of the kohen. So that's what the Gemara considers that a dova shayna miskaven. If the father doesn't tell the moel, then it makes more sense. But even if the father does tell the moel, they can still stretch it a little bit and say that it's still a dova shayna miskaven. So it's like the Rashba says, the ikar iser is not so much the kotzitz baharis, the ikar iser is the bitul hamitzvah of asking the kohen. It's a lois essay here, it's not an essay. But the lois essay is, constitutes the bitul hamitzvah of asking the kohen. Lishma miyad v'lasas k'chol asher yor eskam ha-kohanim alavim. So it sounds like an essay, but Ishamar is a loy sesi. So the nature of the loy sesi is don't be mevatli yesi. So let's say you have 10 siris turned white, and it's going to be koitz, it's 5 out of the 10. So Tosha says that's not a shayla. There's not going to be a machloikis hamarayim about that. That's not called Taitzit Zaharis. That the top taste. If there are four Cyrus and he cuts off one, and there's still three. So Tyson says, or let's say there are ten, and he cuts off five. So the top Tyson would say that's not an Issa. So when is there a Machlokes if there are three Cyrus and he cuts off one? But you still have Shtei Cyrus that are Lavan, it's still a Sin and Tumah. But one of them may fall off. So since one of them may fall off, so that's a Machlokes Amarai. You say Ahana Maisav, the Mishtak Lachod Achrita Ozul Latumah, or do you say Hashtamiho Ho'isa Latumah? So if you cut off 5 out of 10, that's for sure Lo Yahan Maisav. If you cut off 1 out of 3, that's a Machlokes Amarai. Or you had 10 and you cut off 8, cut off 8 and you only left with 2. That'll be also Machlokes Amarai. Okay, what does the Mishnah discuss now? Gozes. So gozes has to be kidarka. All the malachas, if you do kalachat yad, you're not chayv. So if you do gozes bikli within the al-kader, ediri hakol, everybody agrees that that's kidarka. What if he's gozes and that's al tziponim zu bezu, or b'shinov, he bites it? So that's a machlokes hatarayim. Rablezin is mechayv chatos v'chachamim moisim mishum shvus. And the Gemara says, "Machlekes b'yad av b'kli diri hakol chayim." Everybody agrees that the kli is kedarka. And here there was the machlekes harishanim. Is this only if you hold malachas shen tzvicha legufa is there? I say, what if you hold malachas shen tzvicha legufa is only drabon? So Taisa says that every time you cut off seor, it's going to be a malacha she'ein tzvicha legufa. It's only going to be, and he said drabon. And that was the whole psak of the Ramah. Ramah said in Yeridei that if a woman has to go to the mikveh, if she forgot to cut her nails, even if she herself had cut off the nails, it long be aimed to Yichel Gufa. So she asked the Nachris to cut off the nails for her, so that's a Shvuz, the Shvuz, B'mach HaMitzvah. So Amir, the Nachri, and aimed to Yichel Gufa, it's a double the Rabbanon, so B'mach HaMitzvah is Mutah. So others disagreed, and they quoted, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quoted, the Rivosh and the Ramban, that there were other Rishonim who disagreed with this Taisus. The Taisus says, Abel B'kli, Dere HaKol Chayv, Hanukki, Reb Yudit, B'chayim Malach HaShin, Tzvichel Gufa. But if you're all like Reb Shimon, it would be put there because they ain't tzvicha l'gufa. Why exactly is it that? Why does Tyson think that it ain't tzvicha l'gufa? So according to Rashi, we understand why. Rashi had a different definition. That was the gigantic Tesis on Tzadik Dalet and Aleph, where Tesis quoted the Rashi on Tzadik Gimel and Beis. And B'shar Mekayim is Rashi right. Rashi's definition of ain't tzvicha l'gufa means a person has long nails and they annoy me. A person has long hair and it bothers him. His hair is too long. And he's not going to do something about it. The problem is going to get worse. The nails are going to get longer. It's going to bother me more. And the hair is going to get longer. It's going to bother me more. Some people like longer hair than others. But the stomach, everybody probably has a point where you'll reach a certain point that the hair bothers me. Too much hair. If not, so we're not talking about such a case. So Rashi is talking about a regular case like this. The person feels he here has man. I have to cut off the nails. I have to cut off the hair. So I'm in a predicament where there's something bothering me, like my house is burning down. So I wanna extinguish the flame that I should protect myself in Kalalabot, that the whole house shouldn't burn down. So here also, I'm in a situation where the hair or the nails are long, and if I'm not going to do something about it, it's going to get longer and longer, it's going to bother me. So I cut off the hair or the nails. So Rashi learns that's the machlokes hatanoim. Is that called misakin or not? So one Tana says, Rabbi Yudah says, sure, it's misakin. You prevented the situation from getting worse. It's bad as it is, and it's getting worse every day. The hair gets longer, the nails get longer. So you prevented it from getting worse, that's tikkun. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees and holds that that's only a negative tikkun. You prevented it from getting worse, negative tikkun. But it's not that that you made a new matzav, that everything is so wonderful. You just prevented it from getting worse. Taisus had a different definition for Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. The Taisus says it has to be Dumi de Mishkan. Yeah, Dumi de Mishkan. Dumi de Mishkan. So that's what Taisus says over here in Tzadik Dalet on the base. In the Mishkan, they would shear off wool, Avdaita, to use the wool. But if you cut off the hair, because your hair is too long, you take a haircut in the barbershop and the hair goes in the garbage. You're not going to use the hair. The Taisus holds that that's called Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. The chefta shal hamalacha is the hair. And if you plan to use the hair that you cut off, let's say sometimes they shave off hair to make a shekel out of it. Or they shave off wool and they're going to use it to make woolen clothing. Okay, they're going to use the wool. So that's called a malacha tzricha leguf. But if you shave off the hair and you shave off the nails and you throw it out in the garbage, so Tzitzit defines that as ain't tzricha leguf. So Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Rivosh, it quoted from some of the Rishonim, that it's, he considers gozes tzricha legufa in one of two ways. Either the way Tzitzit says you're going to use the hair that you cut off, or you miyapa the balchai, that the person looks in the mirror, he feels that he looks awful, his hair is too long, his nails are too long, and now when he cuts off the hair, he cuts off the nails, now he feels that he looks better. So that's also called tzricha legufa. In the Mishkan, Dumi, the Mishkan means there should be a positive tikkun. In the Mishkan, they either where they shaved off wool in order to use the wool. When did they shave off hair from animals in order that the animals should look better? I don't know. But that's what the Rivosh and the Ramban, a Gupar Bishanim, hold like that. That would be considered tzricha legufa, either one tzarech or the other. Either the tzarech that you plan to use the wool or the hair, or the other tzarech is that the person looks better. After the haircut, the person looks better. So a Gupar Bishanim hold that is called tzricha legufa. And Taisa seems to be assuming not so.
Yeah. Does Rashi hold this idea of Lakshan and Tzricha Legufa that the situation is getting worse by, does he ever say it other than in places of Hotzah, which is a Malacha Guru, or is he say it by other Malachos? Possible that Rashi is.
I think Rashi does have it in other cases. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rashi has a few places in the Gemara. Have to check again. I don't know. Then we had a Gemara. There's a din of liyubish gebetim lasisha. Doesn't only apply in a case where a man or a woman wears clothing that's miyuchad to the opposite gender, even if they do practices. Even if the man is going to do, let's say he's going to remove white hair from the middle of the black hair, so he's going to shave off all the hair in the base of air for the tachas hashechi. The Beis HaShechi. So the Gemara says in Nazir that that's also a violation of Le'yulbash Gevesim Lasisha. Or the Midrashim say that if a woman goes with a revolver, so that's a violation of Le'yah Kli Gever Alisha. Yeah, that's not really what that's Levisha. That's Levisha. Probably not a Nisa of Levisha. If a woman will wear clothing like a man, that's Levisha. But here it's not really Levisha. It means to do a practice like the men do. That's why there's a Targum Yonis and Targum Yerushalmi on the Pasuk Le'yilosh Gevesim L'Sisha that refers to Tfilin and Tzitzis. That even though we usually have a practice that the women volunteer to fulfill all the mitzvahs that say Shaz Mangromo, women volunteer to sit in Sukkah and to bench Esring and to listen to Tkiyah Shofar and so on. But these two mitzvahs, they don't volunteer. So the Targum Yerushalmi on this pasuk says that it refers to that. Not wearing tefillin and not wearing tzitzis. What does that mean? So why don't you say that even fulfilling any mitzvah saseh shaz mangroma should be a violation of Le'ilbash? Because the pshut shamiku goes on clothing, on something that you wear. So the talus and the tefillin are something that the person wears. But according to the Gemara, the prohibition of Le'ilbash applies equally, whether it's clothing that a person wears or it's a practice that's miyuchad for the other gender. It's also a violation. Anyway, that's questionable. That's the meaning that the Ramah writes, that the women volunteer all the mitzvahs of Shazman Grama, except for the tefillin and except for the tzitzit. So some say it's based on this Targum Yerushalmi. Then the Gemara has an instance, if you have a Tziporin Shapirish Rubai, since Rubai is already detached, so in our Torah I say Rubai Kukula, and there's no Issa Gozes on that. The whole Issa Gozes is only going to be the Rabbanon. So since it's only the Rabbanon, so therefore there's room to make it if you have a big Shas Atzchak. What's a Shas Atzchak? So the Gemara says, if it's Mitzara so self, it causes pain, number one, and number two, Pirishu Klapi Milo. If it's detached in the one direction, then because it causes pain, that's why they were matter, because the Holy Issa is only the Rabbanon to begin with. So which direction is that? Pirshu Klapi Milo means that it's a hangnail that's attached to the finger on the side that's closer to the body or the side that's further away from the body. So because this is this point is a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, which way is Pirshut Klapi Milo, which direction is Pirshut Klapi Mato, so that's what the Rishonim said, because of the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, we never allow it. Because whichever direction it's going to be, it's going to be against either Rashi or against Tosfos. So we don't allow this one to use this heter that's mentioned in the Gemara. Then the Gemara discusses Binyan Ba'adam, that Rav Leizer in the Mishnah says that if a woman braids a hair, a godelis, this constitutes a malacha deraisa. Godelis, a poketet mishum bonus. So the Gemara says, how do you know that there's Binyan Ba'adam? The Gemara says, yes. The Pasuk says, Vayiben Hashem Elokim es Atzela, that it's called Binyan. The Gemara Nida says, that what are the Chachamim hold? So the Chachamim, there's a question, what point do the Chachamim debate? The Chachamim disagree, they hold that there is Binyan Ba'adam, but they hold that braiding the hair doesn't constitute Binyan, or they disagree fundamentally and hold there's never Binyan Ba'adam. So the Gemara Nidon Daf Mem Hem, they sound like they disagree fundamentally. They don't translate the word Vayiven, Hashem Elokim es Atzela, as coming Miloshin Binyan, but rather Miloshin Bino. The Bina is there, and that's not Kodesh Baruch Hu, Isha Yosef Marishan. That's why a woman becomes Bas Mitzvah a year earlier than a boy. A girl becomes Bas Mitzvah at the age of 12, and a boy only at the age of 13, because of the Bina is there. Yeah, but there were some sources in Rishonim who understood that the Chachamim don't disagree in principle with Rav Leizer. They really agree that Vayivan Hashem Elokim es Atzela is Miloshin Binyan, that there is Binyan Be'odam. They just argue on this application that Godela, the Pokeses, just from braiding the hair, that per se doesn't constitute binyan. But if you do, let's say, Hamafis Mursa, Gederach Shaharofim Osim, Hamafis Mursa was a Mishnah in Hadith. There's a Gemara Kuv Zayinim and Aleph, but they call a Mishnah in Hadith, Perk Sheni Mishnah Hei, Hamafis Mursa B'Shabbos, in Lassus Lapeh Chayav. So the Rambam and Rashi both quote from the Tosefta in Hadith. If he lasses lapek kederach shaharofim mosim, if he does a real professional job, then it's a malacha deraisa. The Rashi had two pshat, and what exactly is the malacha deraisa? Is it mesakin mona, or is it bonus? According to the one pshat that Oisef Pesach is bonus, so you see that everybody's masking that there is binyan ba'adam. It's just that over here the chachamim disagree on godelus of pokesus, they know that this is not bonus, but in principle there is binyan ba'adam. So that's problematic, because the pasha pshat and gemara need is that the Chachamim de Rav Leizer disagree in principle, that they hold there's never binyan bottom. They translate by either Miloshin Bina. Bina said not Miloshin Binyan at all. Okay, but I'll call upon him. That's the Machlokes HaRishon. That exactly is the Machlokes HaRishon. Then we had a Machlokes Rav Leizer and a Chachamim. It's really a machlokes hatanoim in quite a few places. It's the Mishnah at the end of Uktzin, in quite a few areas of halacha regarding vayitpalo so beyares hadvash. So Rav Leizer holds ma yar hatolish b'mena b'shabes chayv chatos. A yar is a forest. If a person breaks off a branch or breaks off a fruit that's growing on a branch, so on Shabbos is chayv mishum kotzer. We have a Xeris HaKosuv that the Dvash that's on the honeycombs, on the Yaris HaDvash, has a status of Mechubel HaKarta. So it's relevant for Hilchas Shabbos purposes, but a Kotzer Mena B'Shabbos will be Chayav Chatos. Then the Mishnah has, it's relevant for Hilchas Prusbul, it's relevant for Kinyonim. If I want to sell the Yaris HaDvash, do I sell it with Kinyoni Karka or with Kinyoni Metaltalin? Or let's say the Mishnah has been geared to Kabbalah's Tumah. If something is Mechubel HaKarka, it's not Mechubel Tumah. If it's Tolish, it is Mechubel Tumah. So what about Yaris HaDvash? It's a Michael. It's Michael Odom. It should be Mechubel Tumah. Is it Mechubel Tumah or not? Should I declare that it's Mechubel or that it's Tolish? And Machlokes is HaTanayim on the level of their Raisa. Like over here for Shabbos, also Machlokes is on the level of their Raisa. Then Prusbul is a Dinder Rabbanan. You can only write a Prusbul if the loiva has karka. So what if the loiva doesn't really have any karka, but he has notzitz nokuv? So notzitz nokuv is also dinik and mechuper, you can write a prusbul. What if he only has a yaris hadvash? He has a honeycomb that's no longer smeared with a lot of honey. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. Ablezer nechacham. Ablezer holds from this pasuk. Very strange, because he learns out a din deraisa from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Aleph. You usually say divi term divi kabbalah lo yafina. What are you going to say? Gilim milsa diyamahu. How is this a gilim milsa diyamahu? It doesn't make any sense at all. This is mamashak zeris hakosu. So how can you quote a pasuk in Novi? I don't know. So tell it. But we don't pass them like Rabbi Lezer's pasuk. We assume that that it's not a good rush. That the Yarvis Adrash is not dinim kemechuber at all. Dinim ketolish. When they get to dinim derais, I'm going to get to dinim derabbanan. Here's what Tosfos had their famous kasha. And the Radikeim and Aleph Arode Chalas Dvash. So the Gemara says that one who's Rode Chalas Dvash Beyontif is Loike Mishim Kotzer. And if you're according to Rablaze, according to Rachamim, it's all Talish. But according to Rablaze, it's a Malach of Kotzer. So Harode Beyontif is Loike, and Harode Chalas Dvash Beshabbos would be Chayiv Chatos. So on Shabbos you have Koris. On Yontif, the worst he can have is Malka. So it says Loike. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. What if he's Rode Chalas Dvash for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh? So why do you say that he gets Malkus? So we don't understand Tosfos Kasha, the Rishonim say, the Rishalmi says, you only allow Malechus Oichal Nefesh, Milisha V'yelech, whatever is Kodim Lisha. There's no heter Oichal Nefesh, so that's why you're not allowed to pluck off Paris from the tree in order to eat them. That's the Gemara in the Andav Gimel Amid Aleph in Beitza. The Gemara says that Paris on Oshrim, on Yontif, may not be eaten. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Psochem, the Paris Mach Mishanagu. That Paris on Oshrim, fruits that fell off of the tree on their own on Yontif, may not be eaten. And Gzer Hashem Yalav Yitlush. Gzer that he may pluck off the Paris. So he says, Kasha, what's wrong if he plucks off the Paris? It's Oichal Nefesh. So you say, you see that there's an Isser in plucking off Paris. So what's Tosfos Kasha over here? Harode Chalas Dvash, if you say that it's a violation of Kotzer, so you're not permitted to do Kotzer. So you see that Tosfos, in asking the Kasha, assumed that that requirement, that it's Oichal Nefesh, only Mutam, Milisha V'yelech, whatever's too far in advance, there's no Heter Oichal Nefesh, too far in advance of eating the final product, that Tosfos Shita is that Milisha V'yelech is only a Chumra Midirabbanan. And the third din is that all Oichal Nefesh is Mutam. That's a fundamental machlokes in the Rishayim. And Av Gimel Amid Aleph in Beitza, and then Iran, the beginning of Perek in Zodin, and the beginning of the third Perek in Beitza, whether that requirement of the Rishamim, Milisha V'yelech, is that the Raisa of the Rabban. So they point out that this taste is holding the fairish, that it's only made the Rabban on the level of the Raisa. It's even permissible to do malachas that are Koidim Lisha. So that's why Taisa asked the Kasha, how can you give a malchus over here? A road of Chalas Dvash beyond of his loke, but it's for the purpose of Echal Nefesh. The Tosfos senses must be talking about Dvash Hidvish, the Dvash became spoiled, or it's also Bano al Pidin, the Lochazi Lachilo. Or he cut it off so late in the afternoon, Samach Lachashecho, that there isn't even enough time to, the Lochazi Suli Orchim. He scraped off the Dvash, that was the first answer that Tosfos gives. He scrapes off the Dvash. Mamish a second before the Shkia in such a way that it's impossible to use the Dvash and Yantam, so that's why there is no Echal Nefesh, there isn't even any Hoyel. Even theoretically, it's not Shach you should give it to the Orchim. He's scraping it off a second before the Shkia. It's not Shach that Orchim will come that it will be able to give it to them. And the other Mishnah is saying, no, the Torah says that Kodim Lisha is a Malacha Deraisa, that's why you get Malki. You have to give such fancy answers, Dvash Hidvish, also Bano. You don't need all the tibbits.
Why doesn't Tosfos bring up the kasha also by Cholei and Mechavetz? And would Tosfos answer this same way?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does it say in the Gemara on Yontif Yoloike? Yeah. Maybe it only says it by Harode Chalas Dvash Shogim Shabbos Chayav Tehdiz Biyontif Yoloike Arpoim. It only says it by the Chalas Dvash. It doesn't say it by the Cholei. Cholam only says that on Shabbos he chayv kashas. Never says that on Yontif Yoloike. But on the road of Chalas Vash, that says the same in the Braisa that Yoloike on Yontif.
From the top places, Mashma that Tosfos is looking at Braisa all six cases as one Shita.
Mm-hmm. How do you see from the top places?
He's comparing Meraditz to Cholam.
Shabbos purposes. I don't know. For Shabbos, maybe not necessarily for him. But I don't know. Then the end of that Tesis was a very fact. The end of the Tesis Harod Chalos Dvash was a famous, interesting kasha. There is a Gemara later. The Tesis quotes Kuf Lamed Zayin, but the Gemara says that you're not allowed to make cheese on Yontif. Aitzach al Nefesh. So the Gemara says, if you would have made the cheese, Mibogyam would have tasted better than if you would have made the cheese on Yontif. So therefore, there's no Heterech al Nefesh. Does that Gemara mean to tell me that it's a Nisa Deraisa to make cheese on Yontif, or it's only a Nisa Derabbanan? So the Mishnah Brura points out in Hilchot Yontif, that's a Machlokes Harishonim. The only reason it says that it's a Nisa Deraisa is the Tosis of Megillah Dav Zayin on the base. The Daf with Tosis is Mitzayin. Ein Ben Yontif L'Shabbos Erech al Nefesh Balvad. So Tosis there discusses making cheese on Yontif. So they think that it's a Nisa Deraisa. And our Tosis thinks that making cheese on Yontif is only Derabbanan. Because Efshalatus Mabad Yom is only a chilik within Machshirin, Tosis claims. The Rav Yod disagrees and holds it's even a difference within Eichel Nefesh proper. And Tosis B'Kama Mekamis gives their presentation that in Eichel Nefesh proper, it does make a difference with the Efshalatus Mabad Yom or the Efshalatus Mabad Yom. So what does the Gemara say? That you're not allowed to make cheese on Yom, because if you would have made it on Erev Yom, it would have tasted better. Ice Mamish Eichel Nefesh. So they say this distinction is only with the Rabbanon. On the level of their ice, it's mutter to make cheese on Yontif, even though it would have tasted better if you would have made the cheese on Erev Yontif. So Tosis says, and what malach is involved in making cheese? And the Gemara says, bonet. That's hadat, bonet. So Tosis is bothered with akasha, so you see that making cheese is mutam and atayra on Yontif with a tzarech ochel nefesh. So what if a fellow's house fell down in the middle of Yontif? I should say he's allowed to build up the house on Yontif mitoch shuch with a tzarech ochel nefesh utranami the tzarech hayom tzas. Mitoch, you have to judge, you see clearly from the text, Mitoch, you have to judge each and every malacha individually. Is this malacha of bona ever mutter the tzarech ochel nefesh? That'll be mutter the tzarech hayom tzas. The text says, well, I'll give you an example where bona is mutter the tzarech ochel nefesh. Making cheese is a malacha of bona. And making cheese on Yontif, the Gemara says on Kuf Lamed Zayin, is forbidden, but it doesn't make sense to say that Gemara means menater. The worst it can mean is only the Rabbanan, because the Efshalat Magyam would have tasted better. So that, it doesn't make sense, that should be deraisa. Taisa Megillah says it is deraisa, but the Mishnah Berurah says nobody holds like that taisa. Rov Rishonim, Rishonim hold like this taisa. That these are making the cheese on Yontif is only the Rabbanan, menater is mutter. So you see that menater, you're permitted to do bone el tzarech ochel nefesh. You should be permitted to do bone l'tzarech hayom tzas. Any particular malacha, which is sometimes mutter l'tzarech ochel nefesh, is also mutter l'tzarech hayom tzas. So what if mishanof l'beiso? If the fellow's house fell down on Yontif, he should be allowed to, let's say a fellow doesn't have a sukkah, he should be allowed to have nails and a hammer and bang nails and make mamisha sukkah on Yontif l'tzarech hayom tzas in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So Taisha says, you're right. It's mutman atar. You would say mitoch is mutman atar. It's only awesome with the rabbanim because uvda dechol. So the Akraidim found that hard to believe, that it's only awesome mitam uvda dechol. So they were all pushing to make it that it should be an isa deraisa. How can you make it into an isa deraisa? So some said that megabin is only a tolda bona. It's not the av malocha bona. So perhaps the only time you say mitoch is if you have an av malocha. That's muta the tzarech ochel nefesh. Then I say that whole category, that whole malach is muta the tzarech hayom tzas. But if you only have the tolda, is muta the tzarech ochel nefesh, then you won't say mitoch. So this is already interesting. We found the difference between an av and a tolda. We were searching from day number one. The Gemara in the first daf in Bava Kamma sounds like it said the whole difference between an av and a tolda is only in history. Haftavid mishka hashivik karleyav, haftavah mishka hashivik karleyav, kibudim. Whatever was in the Mishkan, we give it the covet, and it sits in the Mizrachan, in the Mishnah, the Afayin Gimel, we call it an Av. Whatever wasn't in the Mishkan, we only call it a Tol. Here, the Achrayim wanted to say that. Here, there's a difference in Halacha between an Av and a Tolda. That it's only considered, you only apply the head to Mitoch Shutra, Malacha Zula, Tzorach HaChanev, Shutra Namin, Tzorach Yom Tzas, if the Av Malacha is Mutter, Tzorach HaChanev. Then it says, had a fantastic Kiddush. He said to declare that making cheese is a tolda bona very far-fetched. He says, how in the world? What kind of a tushtal is this? Very hard to understand. Why should Megabin? So the Rambam explains that just like in Boni, you put a lot of bricks together with cement and you build the whole house, so too over here you take all the particles of the cheese, the curds, He puts them together. Megabein. Megabein means that he puts together the curds and he makes it into a binyan. Yeah, but what's the tushtel? Hey, you're building a house. Hey, you're making a bar of cheese. That's a little too far-fetched. So the Nitziv says, Lamasarakas Vela Chachamim. The Chachamim were gunning out. They wanted to ask them making cheese, right? So they had a right to declare, with the power vested in them, as Chachmi Hamasar, they had a right to declare that this too is a Toldah. So he says, they only felt it necessary to declare it as a Toldah of Boneh on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, they didn't want to answer it that it should be an Issa Derais. So they left it that it's not a Malach at all. So on Yom Tov, the Gemara says making cheese is Osir, because even if you would have made it there, you would have tasted better. And so he says the worst it could be is only the Rabbanon. So he says they weren't interested in making it into an Issa Derais. So on Yom Tov, they never declared Megabein as a Toldah Bona. It's a big Kiddush. That Megabein is a Toldah Bona on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov it's not a Toldah Bona. It's up to the Chachamim. They have a right to declare on Shabbos one way and on Yom Tov another way. But the whole thing is that the whole shot of the Nitziv is a little far-fetched. It's a big Kiddush. Anyway, the thrust of the Achrenim was that they didn't want to accept the last line in the Tosfos, that it's only over the whole to build the sukkah, to rebuild the house on Yom Tov. They wanted to make it that it should be an Issa Deraisa to build the house on Yom Tov, and they had to give some kind of a teret why you can't say mitoch. Okay, let's see. Bulineta, tomorrow we'll continue. We left that a lot over here on this stuff. Then we'll go to the next Gemara. Where's the next Gemara? You got it ready? Posse. Kukimel. Where's the... Kukimel of an hour. Go base on base. Go base on base. Abona. Okay.